Hi there, can I help you? You're looking for something for the garden?
Well, I want to plant
what
for my...
What she wants is a nice lay landy hedge, am I right?
No, well...
And a lovely big hot tub.
Your vote is your voice, so don't let someone else decide for you.
Oh, and a pair of those crouching stone lions, they'd look great either side of your front door.
Do I know you?
That's our new trainee. He's very keen.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
And would you like that for delivery?
Yeah. Apartment 3, 6th floor.
Oh, you're going to need a crane for those lions then.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a warm, late summer's night, and Rainid had finished her part-time job at a fashion boutique in Dunleary. She went across the road to a local pub, where she met with a friend and stayed there for a few hours. It was a Saturday night, and the plan was to move on to a nightclub in the area. But she decided to walk the 15-minute home to change before heading back out. And that was the last time that Rainid was seen alive.
On September 4th, 1999, young Rainid Murray was killed 500 metres from her home in Glenageary in South Dublin. Now, her death led to the biggest homicide investigation in the history of the state. But over two decades later, her killer has never been caught. I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today, as part of our Unsolved series, I'm joined by Irish Independence John Marr to explore what happened to the teenager killed almost 23 years ago and examine how the person responsible has so far evaded authorities all these years.
Our beautiful child died on the pavement with no loving, caring person there to help or comfort her. Recently, we were looking through some of Rainid's things and glimpsed again the young woman our child was becoming. There was still that beautiful, fresh innocence of youth on the threshold of adulthood, with all the excitement, wonder and possibility that brings with it. For a brief moment, she was ours again, without this horrific shadow hanging over her.
John, take me back to the 3rd of September in 1999, John. It's a Friday night, and what was Rainid doing?
Well, she had finished her day shift working in a fashion boutique in Dunleary, and she headed across the road to a popular pub called Scott's to have a few drinks, to meet some friends. And she planned to go to a nightclub at the time called Paparazzi's. But like any young woman or young guy for that matter, she didn't want to be wearing the clothes she had been working in all day. She decided to walk to her home in Silchester Park, which was about 15 minutes away by foot, to change and then to meet the friend at the nightclub in Dunleary. And at some time between 11:50 p.m. and 12:20 in the morning, she is killed in the cut, this laneway that is just 50 metres from her family home.
She was attacked and stabbed.
The attack was a particularly vicious one, and that the assailant would certainly have had blood on his clothes.
Murder, Gardaí say they are still hopeful of securing a conviction.
It's a year since 17-year-old Rainid Murray's brutal murder.
Over the past 10 years, Gardaí have arrested a total of 14 people in connection with her killing. Her murder remains unsolved.
At around 12:30 a.m., Rainid is discovered by her own sister Sarah, who's coming home with three friends. She is either dying or dead at that stage. She is clutching her handbag and her outfit for the night out.
And John, that 15-minute walk is probably something she was used to doing. You know, she's a young girl, likes going out with her friends. So it probably is part and parcel of a Friday night, head home, quick change and back out.
Absolutely. And the chances are she wouldn't have given it a moment's thought. A 17-year-old walking home to an area she's always lived in would never have perceived danger there, would have thought this is just par for the course, probably was thinking about what she was going to wear, what makeup she was going to put on, maybe who she might meet in the club that night, all the stuff that a 17-year-old thinking about a great night out has in their heads at that moment.
And there was a familiar local route getting from Dunleary town to home and back.
Yes, in the heart of Lanagiri, there's a laneway that connects Silchester Road and Silchester Crescent, and it's known locally as the Cut. It's about 100 metres long. It's really beautiful. You've got grassy verges on either side, plenty of mature trees. If you walk there during a summer evening now, you'll hear the sound of people playing tennis in the courts next door. So the Cut is right beside the family home as well. And that's what makes this case all the more horrifying. She was killed so close to home. We still don't know who did this.
Mm-hmm.
The killer was never apprehended.
The murder of Raynard Murray is by far and above the largest homicide investigation ever conducted in Ireland. Almost 3,500 statements have been taken, and they form part of a massive murder investigation file.
And John, this investigation would be the largest of its kind in the history of the state. Thousands of hours and statements were taken. But was there ever a chief suspect from the get-go?
There was never one particular suspect. In fact, the Gardaí at one point had 200 suspects or persons of interest. And of those, 22 people were given red alert status. For a long time, there was this notion of a young man with a Liam Gallagher-type haircut who had been spotted in the area. Nobody knew or knows who he was or is. And Gardaí spent thousands of hours contacting people in Dunleary, Glenageary, Glastool to try to work out who this person might have been. There were suggestions that he could have come in off the ferry at Dunleary, that he might have got back on the ferry shortly afterwards. A great deal of time was pursued on that avenue. But you're right, it was an enormous case. 3,500 statements taken. Thousands of households visited over months. A huge amount of manpower from the Gardaí to put into solving this. And solve it, they couldn't.
For reasons the guards have never established, someone waylaid Raynard in this laneway and stabbed her repeatedly. She didn't die at the scene. She was able to crawl another 40 or 50 yards, that's all, and then she expired just around the corner from her own home.
Over the years, there were various suggestions about who might have done this. The Somali immigrant Farah Salwe Noor, who was killed by the so-called Scissor Sisters, Linda and Charlotte Mulhall, in 2005, was once suspected of doing it because he had apparently boasted of killing Raynard to the Mulhalls. Gardaí thought this guy is a perpetual fantasist. He wasn't responsible. Graham Dwyer, the killer of Elaine O'Hara, has also been ruled out. He had a fixation with knives, and apparently he once sent Elaine O'Hara a text mentioning that Raynard's killer had never been found. But he's not linked with that death. That happened 13 years before he killed Elaine O'Hara in August 2012. So we are no closer to knowing who did this all these years on. The other thing that is important to note about the year, this is 99, technology has moved on massively in those 23 years. Yes, there was CCTV at the end of the 90s, but nothing like we have today. So had something like this happened in 2022, there's a very strong chance that somebody in a pub in the pub would have had photographs, you know, that she might have been in the background of. Every single shop would have had CCTV. We could follow her movements. The cut itself probably wouldn't have cameras there, but you would more than likely have been able to ascertain who was walking up the road behind her, assuming that she was followed. If somebody had been waiting there, again, they could pull that footage back in time to see, okay, somebody entered this particular spot half an hour beforehand and didn't leave.
So, Martin, Rena came this direction and she was heading for home.
That's right. Now, the initial contact between the attacker and Rena would appear to have taken place just right behind us there at the gable end of that house, because witnesses were able to tell us in the immediate aftermath that a lady's voice and a man's voice were heard, and the lady, we're assuming was Reynard, said to the man to get away from her, or words to that effect.
I mentioned Graham Dwyer there. The technology played a significant part in his arrest and conviction, but technology, unfortunately, wasn't advanced enough to play a part in this case. To go back to that period in September 99, this was a story that absolutely shocked the nation, because everybody knows a 17-year-old. It could be a daughter or a sister. It could be a friend. Everybody knows what it's like to finish the Leaving Cert and have all these plans and aspirations for your future. And then the horror of not getting to do any of that and to be killed when you're almost at home in the most horrific, violent, savage manner, and to know that person was never caught. Now, several of the lead investigators on this case subsequently thought that there was a strong possibility that the perpetrator had been female. And the reason for that, the stab wounds were shallow. They were shallow. They were inflicted by somebody that didn't have typical male physical strength. That was the thinking. And I interviewed the UK-based criminologist Jane Monckton Smith on the 20th anniversary of Reynard's killing, and she has written a book about female victims of male perpetrators. So she is an acknowledged expert in this area, and having looked at the case, she thought the shallow stab wounds was a critical clue, and her contention was that there was a strong possibility that the perpetrator was female. There are so many intriguing aspects to a case like this, and we can look, I suppose, at homicides in the round. After the murder of Aisling Murphy earlier this year, Women's Aid conducted a survey about female homicide going back to the mid-90s. And they discovered that 87% of female homicide victims had known their killer. So there is a very strong likelihood that Reynard knew her killer. A very strong likelihood. When I spoke to Jane Monckton Smith about this case, she said that a classic suspect is a boyfriend or somebody interested in her or somebody that she had rejected. And I'll read you the quote that she gave me at the time. The classic suspect is a boyfriend or somebody who was interested in her in that way, or somebody she had rejected, or if it was a female, which would be unusual typically, but not unheard of. It could have been somebody who thought their boyfriend was interested in her. Those are crucial questions to ask when you're talking about the murder of a female. 9 times out of 10, that sort of detail is highly relevant. Now, Reynard had a boyfriend at the time of her death. He was a young barman who worked at Scott's Pub, but he was ruled out immediately because CCTV footage showed that he had been working in the pub at the time of her death.
In a previous interview marking the launch of a family website dedicated to Reynard, her parents Jim and Deirdre told me about their youngest child.
From the time I knew I was expecting Reynard, she was a joy for me.
Reynard was, she was really a beautiful, beautiful child.
Here we are, over two decades on, and you've covered this story many, many times. We're still talking about Reynard. We're still asking what happened to her. We're still trying to find answers, John. Do you see us getting to a point where we will have some of these questions answered?
With every year that goes by, the likelihood of that recedes. Reynard's parents pleaded publicly on the 20th anniversary of her killing for anybody with information to come forward, or for the killer, if he or she is still out there, to confess. That hasn't happened.
It's still an unsolved case, John. In the Gardaí's eyes, does that mean this case is still very much open?
It's very much open. Absolutely. And they are still looking for people to come forward. And there are cases, certainly in other parts of the world, where cases much longer than this even have been solved, because people have come forward, or a scrap of evidence that was perhaps discounted at the time comes to light again. There's always hope. And I'm sure Reynard's parents live in hope that there is some manner of justice here. So never say never.
Reynard's killer is free. That freedom mocks what should have been Reynard's life and mocks the horror of her death. To her killer, we say, come out from the shadows and own up to what you have done. Do the right thing and confess your crime. Time has not lessened our sense of grief and loss, but sent it deeper and made it more profound. For Reynard's sake, help find her murderer and get the justice for her that she deserves.
I think at the heart of this case, there is the nightmare that every parent must have, which is your child on a night out does not come home, that they are killed in the most gruesome fashion. I interviewed Dr. Orla Lynch some time ago. She is the head of criminology at University College Cork. She said murders that are unsolved and murders that are assumed to be carried out by a stranger represent something larger than life, something truly monstrous. They are social myths that sustain our fear of the unknown. They violate our belief in a just world. If someone can be killed by a stranger through no fault of their own, the logical conclusion, she says, is that anyone could be at risk. The notion of the innocent victim is important here too, as is the fact that she was a teenager and female, that she wasn't seen as playing any role in her own victimization. That is something that resonates very strongly with people. 23 years on from Reynard's murder, justice needs to be served. This is a case that doesn't just haunt South County Dublin, it haunts all of Ireland.
Well, my thanks there to John Marr, Irish Independent feature writer, for joining me today. I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today's episode was produced by myself, researched by Tabitha Monaghan, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from RTE News, Virgin Media News, RTE One and independent.ie. And if you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.